Hi, welcome to Not Another Marketing Podcast, where I'm talking to Jeff Coyle, the co-founder of Market Muse. Now, we're talking about content marketing and artificial intelligence. Can a computer do it all? Are we fired? Thanks for downloading. How can artificial intelligence help our content marketing efforts? That's what we're talking about in this episode. We know AI is really good at analysis, but how good is it? And can it write content for us? All these questions and a lot more answered by Jeff Coyle, who's the co-founder of Market Muse, which is an online tool that helps content marketers, search engine marketers, agencies build authority and improve their content, basically get better results. You can find Market Muse at marketmuse.com. That's marketmuse.com. Can I quickly mention that Not Another Marketing Podcast is totally ad-free? I'd love it if you could give the pod a quick shout on social media, subscribe via your favourite podcast app, check out all the links and more podcasts at jtid.co.uk/podcasts. Now, the first thing I asked Jeff was, how clever is AI? Is it really intelligent, or is it just capable of doing like complicated things really, really quickly?
I think it's both. it's really on the actual, you know, for my world is heavily focused on natural language processing and everything that relates to that. So over time, these, you know, natural language generation and language models, over time, these things get better and better because they can be trained with real data, experiential data. They can be trained with their own data and just keep refining, and then go off on their own and become far more tuned than anyone could have ever done manually. So it's all about those processes. And when those processes are well-defined and well carried out and, you know, use great, you know, great information and great data, it can become intelligent, or at least it can become something that gives as close of an intelligent experience as possible. You see it every day. I mean, the first time you talked to something, it probably didn't get the answer right very often. And now you're talking to it and getting the answer more often, every day, whether you're working with an Amazon or your phone. And then that's going to just continue to be the process. The advancements in natural language processing and generation have been, you know, if you wrote an article about it 9 months ago, it would be so out of date already. Yeah. It's just the entire world changes every year, and it's only happening faster and faster. So
do we use the wrong language in a way? Do we call things artificial intelligence when they're not really? They could be like machine learning. Is there a difference between these things? Or is there just like a really clever computer, basically, that makes decisions based on data which it's being given? I mean, is it actually learning itself?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the one common misconception is that the definition of natural artificial intelligence is one thing. Yeah. There's tons of branches. There's probably, you know, over 100 branches of artificial intelligence that you could be working on or looking at something from, or however that goes. And machine learning is something that works such that it can train that artificial intelligence. So easiest way would be you can actually feed a machine learning, process a bunch of human rating data, and then it will go off and train and build and work to get better and better. So, they are one and the same. They are part of other processes, but not every artificial intelligence, experience is going to have a robot attached to it. A lot of them are just happening in the background and taking, in my world, taking web data, taking language data, and just continuously getting better and better and trying to turn that into some sort of application.
So when we look at content marketing and we're trying to build a strategy, we're trying to get ideas, we're trying to do some research, how can AI help us with this?
Oh gosh, it's so many ways. And like we were just talking about, as these all these subsets of artificial intelligence you know, some of the things then, and like we talked about with machine learning, it's types of learning algorithms, you know, types of training models. But when you're training those on content, what can that tell you? Some of the things that we work on is being able to analyze a page and say whether it's comprehensive,
right?
Whether it tells the story that you are an expert on a topic. What topics are you covering well? Which ones aren't you covering so well? And you kind of did it in a thin way, or in a way that someone who isn't an expert might have covered it, or maybe you were just wrong. And if you think about being able to do that at the page level, by analyzing, you know, potentially every article, every page that's ever been on the web about that topic, that's what I focus on. So I go out, I can learn and read everything that's ever written on a topic and say, here's the characteristics that would make one an expert on that topic. Here's the things that would show that maybe you're an expert on a related one, but not this one. And for content marketers, that's invaluable analysis. So you're taking it away from just being like a keyword research effort and really getting into understanding what it would mean to be an expert on that topic. Who are the people who are thinking about that, who care about it? What types of personas, what types of audience care about this topic? Who are they? How do I write for them? And you start to get into that, you know, that dream scenario where you're having assisted content strategy. And that's a big, big, big difference than just looking at keywords that have the same string in them, right? And so that's where I'm focused with artificial intelligence, is to say, okay, what does it mean to be an expert on that topic? And what content do I have? Is the content that I have really good? Or is it poor? Do I have gaps? Do I have natural gaps? Do I have blind spots? Do I only cover the early stage awareness content on this topic? Or do I cover the full funnel or the entire, you know, range of concepts that people care about? So it gets into kind of that decision support. So you can say, what should I do next? What should I update? What's out of date? What wasn't good in the first place? And you're going through those common questions that content marketers face. But you're using data to support your decisions and not as much brainstorming and subjectivity. You're able to use your creativity and your subject matter expertise to your advantage, not to justify your decision.
Yeah, it's really interesting, actually. I'm immediately thinking to myself, you could take the content on your site, which is performing poorly, and you could throw it at this and say, what's wrong with it? How do we get this content to perform better? And the tools which you've built can actually do this.
Absolutely. Yeah, today. And so I can actually look at your entire site and tell you what you're about, tell you where you have weak content, where you have quick wins, which is my favorite part, because frankly, that's what gets people hooked. You know, you're like, if you went out and wrote an article about, you know, how do you get bees out of your garage? It's going to be successful. You should go do that. And by the way, here's an outline for that article. And we'll actually build an outline for you in the form of a content brief. And we're even taking that a step further with some of our new generation technology. We're starting to build out model drafts and things that would be even more inspiring for your writers and your experts. So, yeah, but we can look at your site today and tell you, here's a gap. You can also give us a goal. You can say, I'm getting killed by my competitor. What do I do to fix that, to right the ship? Or you might say, I want to own this topic. What's my path to get there? I have to write 80 articles to get there. Okay, well, at least I know it's not going to be an easy layup. Or finding me some layups that where I can put some points on the board and justify my investments, which is great for agencies, great for, you know, content strategists that, you know, have 9 days left in the year and they've got to get a few wins on the board.
So if you've got to write 80 articles. To get that, you know, to beat the competition, you can sit there as a human as such and think to yourself, oh my days, 80 articles, right, let's have a brainstorming session. I mean, can this system help us decide topics and give us ideas?
Exactly that. So identifying all the topics that would be in that universe and saying, here's where you have some strength. Here's areas which would be quick wins if you knock them out with one page, or here you need a larger pool of pages. But not only that, that is almost like what's your investment requirement? You know, because like that 80, you have an associated cost of that. You might be able to do it yourself. You might not. And then we're really trying to get you to the last mile, getting you to implementation as quickly as possible, and doing the what are those topics? How can you stay differentiated? So many people have tried to do this just by copying what they see.
Yeah.
We're also trying to show you how to be differentiated and how to exhibit the signals that would show that you're an expert. And that's a really different way of looking at it than just copying, because copying doesn't work. Sure. And I can go into a diatribe about that, but you know, you can't just copy the competition. Some of them are on different playing fields than you. If you go out and copy Amazon, you know, they're playing a different ball game than you are. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you search for how to write a blog post, and you'll get
right.
a billion answers, well, because that article has been written so many times by so many people, and most of what's been written will never get read.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you really, is there still blue ocean opportunity in a topic that's been covered that much?
Yeah.
What marketers will try to find is, what is the stuff that everyone always covers if they're writing that great, the post on that topic? But what are the things that would differentiate? And then also, based on what you currently have in your site or in your network of sites, where should you put this article? On what site? And what are things that you should lean into? What are topics that, if you were to include, you might have a distinct advantage, that subtopic? So giving you kind of all the strategic insights so that you, when you write, you can do it confidently. People will talk to us and, you know, they write 100 articles a year or something like that. Yeah. And only 10 of them achieve any outcome value.
Yeah.
You know, we call that content efficiency. One big outcome of using artificial intelligence for your research and your planning and your prioritization and execution is you might be able to turn that into 30, 40, 50, 60% efficient. And that's when people's, you know, brains explode. That's when they want to write so much more. Yeah. And because it's like, oh wow, I kind of just understood and accepted that I'm going to write 100 articles and only 10 of them are going to be successful. And that's just how content marketing works.
Sure.
But then they start thinking about this and it's like, oh, wow, actually, I can do 40 out of 100. Like, OK, I've got to change the way I think about budgeting.
Yeah, it's a huge difference, isn't it? So if the software is coming up with ideas and the software is providing us with a bit of an outline on what we're going to write about, where does it get its ideas from?
So there's a couple things. If I'm just, let's say I didn't have a website. So when we built topic models, so we have two patents on our topic modeling technology, we're able to go out and read everything we can possibly find or things we've already read our technology and analyze it and say, basically, what topics is this strong on? If I were covering this topic, how would I cover it? And imagine we're able to do that with hundreds of thousands or millions of pages of content. That's really the core of where it gets its ideas. It's where it builds. Imagine like Google has a knowledge graph. It associates things and people and concepts together. Well, we have our own version of that that's specifically tuned for these workflows. So we can go read every article about, you know, maritime law. I don't know why I just said maritime law. I just come up with random topics.
It sounds exciting.
It sounds exciting, right? And it can say, if I were truly the expert on this, here's the pages I would have. Here's the topics I would write about. And if I have a clear, like something that's super relevant and extremely relevant and I don't cover it, maybe I'm not that much of an expert. Maybe I was actually just writing for a keyword. Well, the search engines are also thinking about things like that too. What are these characteristics that you would naturally have? A good example I always use is if I was writing about content marketing strategy and I'd never ever talk about target markets or buyer personas, am I really an expert? No, because I would match, but that's not a keyword match, right? That's just sure. only something I would know if I truly was an expert on the topic. But MarketMuse, using the technology we've just talked about, can surface those related concepts that you have to cover in order to exhibit that you're an expert. So we do that at the page level, and then we're able to look at your entire site and do the same thing. And that creates this huge universe of every concept. That, and you can even bring your own. I like to call it BYOK, bring your own keywords. If you want to bring your own list, throw it in there. We'll rate your site on that too. But we have this generation process. So where do we find them? We analyze everything we can and we say, what's a collective of all this about? And then we overlay it with what you have.
Can AI help us write the content? I mean, it's providing mm-hmm. outlines. It's giving us ideas. It's giving us clues. It's telling us what we have to do. But can it actually help us write the words on the page, or is that a little bit dangerous?
Oh gosh, it can, and it is a little bit dangerous. So yes and yes.
Yeah.
This is the field that I'm, that MarketMuse is spending the most time in, is natural language generation. And it is dangerous. It's dangerous in so many ways, but it's also extraordinarily assistive. And if you have subject matter expertise, if you have clear goals that you want to achieve, if you are able to tune up and edit content, you can train language models to write strikingly like yourself.
Right.
And you can, on tone, on voice, even on your kind of word usage specifically to the way that you write, and to be an expert. So in the same way that I can build that model, I can actually train a language model to write about a topic like me. And it's not going to get it perfect. It's not going to replace me, right? It's going to give me inspiration that I can run with. And the first applications in natural language generation, famously at Washington Post, a few other major periodicals, Washington Post example, they had a natural language solution called Heliograph, and it was very template driven. And they would use it, for example, they said, hey, when we covered the Olympics last time, we were only able to cover 18%. I'm making this number, I forget the real number, 18% of the sports. But with Heliograph, we can put out okay content on everything.
Sure.
And then our writers go in and they write about the special interest stories, about the deep dive stuff, but they will give you templated, rule-based content on everything. Well, that's now a possibility for all content marketers. So you can say, hey, I know I want to cover this specific topic, but I know I need to write those 80 articles. Well, can the technology get me started on all 80? Whereas if I had to do that all myself, I probably A, wouldn't do it, and B, it would take me 6 months. But can it get me started? And maybe I can knock that out in a month.
Sure.
Versus like not even ever having a chance to get that done in that time frame, or having to outsource to a lot of people who are going to give me mixed tone. It's going to be feedback loops. It's just a completely different job. So yeah, it is starting to write, but it's really the value is in being able to use your subject matter experts wisely, more confidently, and use it as inspiration so that you can apply your creativity and knowledge to it. The funny challenge is people are not used to it. So the dangerous part is people looking at it and going, nah, that's not very good. And they're like, this isn't right. This isn't good. What if you did that the first time you ever asked Alexa to tell you what time it was, right?
Yeah.
And told you, the capital of North Dakota.
Yeah.
This is going to be something that evolves over time, and it's always just going to be assistive. There's going to be use cases that do get fully automated until we get fact checking, not until we get real continuous improvement on this. Is it ever going to be something where it gets into a bad field? The other part, and I know this is a long answer to a simple question, but the dangers of AI are dramatic. And writing content that is completely baseless from reality is fact. It can happen. There are language models that will just write garbage.
So the idea is you use it as an assistant and you proofread anything that the software comes up with.
Expand it. Try to understand where it came from. Right.
Yeah.
It's just you might only grab a paragraph. I see what you were going for, artificial intelligence, but I'm going to cover it this way. And then you're able to just use the model and use the outline, and it inspired you to actually get it done quicker.
Because I think AI is helpful, isn't it, at the moment, but it's not quite there yet.
Well, it's not, but the use cases, it keeps getting better and better. I mean, it is at alarming rates. I mean, Google had, for example, inside your Gmail, if you use a Gmail, for years now has had what's called Smart Compose. So as you're writing, it's providing predictive next phrases or completing sentences. And the first versions of that work a little bit sloppy, but now it's getting them right more and more. And that's really what we're looking to do with training. And, we have clients who take generated drafts and, spend less than a half hour or an hour on them, and they have them published and in good shape. And that's only going to get better and better. And, the dream is that I'm going to be able to set goals and achieve them with content. That's it. And I'm going to be doing it by putting my best foot forward from the standpoint of quality, comprehensiveness. It's going to really tell the story that I want to tell with my business. And right now, so many businesses just struggle getting the content out the door, low quality, not clear on where to link it. You know, there isn't a culture of content already, and getting someone to wish to invest in that because it's such a long-term investment is very hard. So anything I can advance, where I can advance the culture of content and the spirit of wanting to really excel and show them you know them, you know, with content, it is valuable.
It's a little bit scary, Willie, when you think about it, because if you think, say, just off the top of my head, if you took, say, 5,000 of the biggest firms in the world, and they all had this technology because they could all buy the service from you, and they all decide that they're all going to be creating thousands of pieces of content every single month, are we going to get to a point where it's just content overload? What are we going to do with all of this? Where's it going to end?
What I'll say is, with or without natural language generation, it's already happening. There are teams who have just machines of content right now, and they are taking over many spaces because they're able to write comprehensively. They're able to write wonderful, thoughtful stuff at scale. How are they managing that? It's by getting further, closer and closer to complete. I think that that's where it's really going to, the best editors, the best writers, the most innovative, exciting hooks and narratives, and the people who truly get what it means to, you know, write compelling content are going to have a distinct advantage when, you know, generic low quality content becomes useless. And I think that the first thing you'll start to see happening, and we're already starting to see it, is the market for low quality content is gone. Yeah. Even these large writing networks that used to sell 2-3 cent per word content, they aren't there anymore. They're all turning to managed services. They're all focusing on quality. Yeah. And that's happened over the last 2 or 3 years. But I would predict, you know, if you wanted a prediction in 2021, it's the market for buying low quality content disappears.
Yeah, it's funny, really, because I mean, if you go back to the 1990s, the job then was to basically pick up all our paper material and transpose it onto the internet. And then kind of like in the mid-2000s, we got to the point where let's just create as much content as we possibly can to get Google's attention. And now we're at a point, I think, which is a good point, a good place to be, where we are actually starting to think more about quality.
Exactly right. And that's the dream. I mean, that was the mission the first day, really, you know, when my co-founder and I had sat there and said, we want to rid the world of bad content.
Yeah.
And you know, like, how can we do that? Okay, well, we can objectively evaluate the quality of content. I mean, that was literally the first workflow. I said, okay, well, if we can objectively qualify, you know, grade content for quality and comprehensiveness, what workflows would that enable? And take it from there. And that's, you know, now we have the ability to look at an entire site and look at a competitive site and, you know, take that across every one of those workflows. But it's really that I take such umbrage of somebody writing content that provides me no value.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Yeah. So are all content marketers going to end up being fired? How do you see the roles changing in the future?
No, I don't think so. I think that not at all. I think that you're going to have, you know, the need for creativity, the need for extremes of understanding where inspiration can come from, for high quality content, for subject, you know, how do you get the information out of a subject matter expert's brain and get it onto the page in a creative way? You know, the people whose roles won't be helped here are the ones who are writing low quality content. So I would love it if they all learned how to write high quality content. And that is going to be kind of the transition, is if you're just pushing out any old content on any old topic, if your dossier says you're really good at writing about machine learning and also kitty cats and potato chips, you know, you're probably going to have a hard time. You're going to have to pick a lane and level up your experience. And I think that that's where the pressure will first go. It's those people who are, you know, they copy other people's work. They're writing low quality content. But I think it was always going to go that way. It was always going to happen. There isn't, if you think about it, just, you know, mentally, if you just frame out, why was that ever a useful thing?
Yes.
You know, it was just because, you know, the search engines and
Google.
They were infants. You know, they were infants. Yeah. Now they're mature.
Yeah, it's Google, isn't it? I mean, that's why there's so much rubbish on the internet. It's all Google's fault at the end of the day, because you just had to, you know, in the 2000s, you just had to put the keywords in there. Let's get them in there.
And you'd hope that the industry would catch up. I mean, I've been in the search engine optimization and content strategy and lead gen and conversion rate optimization space for about 21 years. And, you know, I was one of the first people trying to talk about quality, even when you didn't need it. You know, I was always, because I needed to generate leads. I needed real readers. I needed real conversions. So I always I was the preacher in the corner going quality, quality, quality. And everybody else was like, nope, we don't need it. Yeah. Now everybody realizes that it was always that way. If you were able to turn that into cash, great. But that's a short term thing, especially if you were in the arbitrage game or something like that, unless you are an super elite. And if you were truly trying to find people to buy the things you sell, to generate the leads that matter, to create, you know, periodicals and publishing entities that when people read them, they feel great. You know, sure. You were always focused on quality. But what you didn't have was any advice that was focused on enhancing your expertise.
So where does the future lie? If you had to whiz forwards like 5 or 10 years, what are we going to be doing? How is content marketing going to be different than it is, say, today?
It's scary to go 5 years ahead, but I'll try. I think, you know, in 2 years, what you're seeing right now, this is a little bit, I'll say, controversial. You're seeing people who get it. Like you mentioned, the people who already have machines, they're realizing how hard it is and how much of a moat they have over their competitors. They're also realizing that real estate is disappearing. There is so many zero click searches.
Yeah.
So people are searching and it's all ads on the being clicked, or it's all other placements, search result features or SERP features. There's a right rail. There's an answer. There's a box. There's this, you know, it's not the product pages. You know, it's not about clicking on the 10 blue links anymore. So how much of that traffic is actually clicked on? First of all, clicked on at all. It may answer the user's question. And then amongst that, how much of it is organic and actually the free listings that we all, clamor for? What's happening and what you're going to see over the next year and a half? You know, I'd love your take on what you think they're going to do about it, but people are buying everything they can. These machines, these content machines, these big entities, these publishers are buying other properties at scale. They're just sucking them up. You got a great footprint. You've got lots of power. You got lots of authority. I'm buying you. I'm buying you. I'm buying you. I'm buying you. The search results, not only are they getting eaten up by ads and by these SERP features, but now they're becoming one to two large brands. Yeah. And so that there's a skill there. There's a skill in knowing your difficulty, the true personalized difficulty. How hard is it for me to rank for this topic and how much value I can get? But if I can buy all the companies that represent the first 10 clicks and they operate as separate entities, I win. And I can buy all the ads, I can buy all the product listings, and I can own it. We're starting to see that happen. And in 2 years, it's going to become a problem. It's going to become a problem for Google, and they don't have an answer for it right now.
Yeah, I think it'll be a problem for governments as well because of the legislative side of this.
Oh, yeah. It already is.
Yeah.
If you want to look at this industry, look at higher education lead generation.
True.
It is wild. Yeah. How many companies generate the leads that are sold to for-profit colleges online? Very few. Yeah. And what if that answer was one?
Yeah.
Then you got a big old problem.
Jeff, it's fascinating chatting to you about this. Where can we find you? Tell us about Market Muse. Where can we find it? Where can we find your social media bits?
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff@marketmuse.com. Easy to remember. MarketMuse. Jeffrey_Coyle on Twitter. Any questions about SEO? I have also a content strategy Slack community called the Content Strategy Collective. If you ping me or Market Muse, they'll shoot you an invite for that.
Cool.
It's an amazing community of some of the most you know, visionary SEOs and content strategists and lead gen experts in the world. Over 1,000 of us are in there. Please check that out. MarketMuse has solutions at, you know, $79, you know, all the way up to $500,000. So whether you are kind of the largest, most powerful publisher in the world, we can turn you into a beast like we were just talking about. Yeah. Or if you're just trying to update 4 or 5 blog posts a month and make sure that they are as good as they can possibly be and they put your best foot forward. We've got a solution that is really focused on, you know, taking that content efficiency number and putting it as close to 100% as we can.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. Jeff, I really appreciate your time. Thanks.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks again to Jeff for his time. Now, if you've enjoyed this episode, you can subscribe for more on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. Just search for Not Another Marketing Podcast. Thanks for listening.